From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Bruce Weber is the author of As They See Him, A Fan's Travels in the Land of Empires, and co-author of Savion, My Life in Tap. His most recent book is Life is a Wheel, Love, Death, Etc., and A Bike Ride Across America. He will appear as part of the Evenings with Authors at the Thurber House on Wednesday, April 9th. Welcome to Craft, Bruce Weber.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, this is a book that follows your second transcontinental ride across the United States from California to New York. What was the occasion for that? Well, after you'd done it once, seems like that's a good place to maybe bring an end to the idea of traveling across the U.S. on a bike.
Well, there is an answer to that, but the first thing is that this trip was from Oregon to New York. The first one was from California. First time I started in San Francisco. This time I started in Astoria, Oregon. But in many ways, the trips were similar in scope. And the reason I decided to do it the first time when I was 39 was I sort of envisioned the trip as a salute to my vanishing youth, a last chance to do something that I probably wouldn't be capable of doing again. And there's also a kind of, because it's there quality to it. I'd been traveling by bicycle for a number of years beforehand and wanted to take on a big journey. This time, to answer glibly, the reason was because it's still there. But to answer not so glibly, it's more about sort of reaching the age that I'd reached, which was 57, and feeling like sort of my sense of adventure needed a jump start. I'd settled into advancing middle age with sort of alarming equanimity, and it was beginning to feel a little odd about that, particularly since my day job is writing obituaries, and so I spend an awful lot of time thinking about older people and writing about what happens to them in the end.
Right.
Well, the other thing is that I did have it in mind to write a book. I mean, the idea of a solitary bike ride across the United States on a somewhat meandering path with a defined conclusion struck me as a reasonable metaphor for the sort of the life path that we all travel. And having done the trip before, I thought that if I did it again, it might be a nice way to write a memoir, to tell to reflect on things that had happened to me over the previous 20 years.
Right, and you do a lot of reflection in the book. There's a part of the book where you talk about a bike ride that you took in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So as you're riding along, you have to do something during the really long time that you're riding. And my guess is that you're sort of plotting out the thing that you're going to write that night when you get to the hotel.
Well, that might be your assumption, but that would be wrong.
Oh.
One of the things that people often assume about long-distance bike riding is that it's mind-numbing, and that you need to be able to think about other things while you're pedaling sort of mindlessly along. But in fact, riding a bicycle is quite a focusing activity. And when people ask me what I think about while I'm riding a bike, what I tell them the short answer is, well, I'm thinking about riding a bike. You're very attuned to your body. One or more body parts is always giving you trouble on a long trip, particularly when you're my age. My knees are very stiff. I've got neck problems. You're also very attuned to your equipment, your bicycle. I mean, is your chain running smoothly? Are your brakes gripping? If you go through a puddle, they can slip. Are your bags settled on the back of your bike properly? Are your tires properly inflated? I mean, all of this stuff is, you're constantly running through an inventory of things that that might go wrong. I mean, you use your ears a lot, listening to the way the bike rolls on the road and the way the chain is rotating.
Right.
And the other thing, and this is the primary thing, of course, is safety. Bicycles share the road with cars, and the roads are built generally for cars and not bicycles, so you're often riding on paths that are debris-strewn or, you know, or very narrow shoulders that often have sort of jagged borders or fall off precipitously from the side of the road. So, it, you know, it's there's a lot to pay attention to. I mean, it's a bicycling is a vigilant enterprise. So all of the things that I think about to write, I mean, they get plotted when I'm off the bike, not when I'm on them.
Okay. Now, you actually went through a chunk of the state of Ohio.
It rained the whole time I was there.
Well, now, I'm going to argue that there's a joke that you include in the book about some smashed Buckeyes, and that may just be some karma.
Very, very possibly.
And you identify as a Wolverine.
I do.
As well.
Do.
So you can't really blame the state of Ohio for maybe having a little bit of meteorological fun.
That's completely fair enough.
As you went through so many states, did your conception of the U.S. change on this second trip? Do you come away with some really different views of states than maybe the first time that you went through them?
Well, you know, certainly every, you know, your view of every place changes the more intimately connected you are with it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things about riding a bike is that you can't help but become intimately connected with a place if you're plowing through it mile by mile on your own power. You know, Ohio, I had a great time in Ohio in spite of the rain, or maybe even because of it. You know, the whole, I went mostly through the northern part of the state. I entered in a little town called Wauseon,
mm-hmm.
and I think I exited in, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the name of the town, and Ohioans are going to be really upset.
No, we aren't, because I can't. I remember that you went into Pennsylvania through West Homestead, but I also don't recall the name of the town. But you went through Worcester, Wauseon, Mansfield, right, a little north of where we are in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
Still a traditional Ohio area. I mean, you entered up where I grew up near Toledo, sort of in the northeast corner, and zigzagged across to Pennsylvania, seeing all the parts of Ohio that most people might not think of. I think when you think of going through Ohio, when you think, you know, hitting larger cities, maybe the 3C
sure.
highways.
But, you know, it's very lovely country. The farm territory through Ohio is incredibly bucolic, and you know, the small towns struck me as quaint and you know, and homey. Even the ones that were obviously struggling economically. I had never been through the Amish sections of Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and it was fun to ride by the people going through on their horse and buggies, and you know, everywhere I went, people were incredibly friendly. I ended up I visited an independent movie shoot in the town of Bolivar, and, so there was a lot of character
mm-hmm.
during my time going through there. Even though I was, you know, I was a prune by the time I left.
Now, you suggest that another trip might be in the planning stages. Is that accurate, that you're toying with the idea of doing something like this again?
I think toying is probably an appropriate word. I mean, we'll see what happens. My girlfriend is kind of nudging me, elbowing me with the idea that she wants to do it, and she mm-hmm. that she would like the two of us to do it. And I'm not about to commit just yet. I've been a commitment phobe most of my life, and you know, committing to her is about as far as I'm willing to go right now.
I'm curious about the difference you felt in the, as you mentioned, you write obituaries mm-hmm. for a living, and the difference you felt between that and the kind of writing you did each night when you came to a conclusion for the day, and you were at the hotel. What's the? How did that affect you? Did it change you as a writer? Did it change you as thinking about the ways that you commit words to paper?
Well, I think so. I mean, this is an intensely personal book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a travel log and a description of what I was thinking and feeling as I was going across the country. There are, as I mentioned, I used the trip as a to hang a memoir on it, and there's an awful lot about my parents, about the woman I almost married a long time ago, about a friend of mine who died while I was on this trip, and these things all had a great effect on me over the last 20 years. But I think I struggled a little bit with how much of myself to reveal, and I kind of came down on the side of, well, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to reveal a lot. So it's, and I was also aware that being this personal and talking in detail about my personal life, it better be interesting, because otherwise people would, people have no, I mean, aside from the existence of this book, people have no real reason to be interested in me. So the story itself better have, some compelling qualities.
You have a master's in English from Columbia.
I do.
And that's part of what led into your life in writing. Looking at that now, is that something that you recommend for students graduating? Do you have some suggestions for folks who are maybe starting out writing? Is that something you think a master's is a good strong foundation, or are there other ways that you would recommend people who are starting writing?
You know, a master's degree in English, as I have, it's a perfectly okay degree. It's certainly not a requirement for anybody who wants to be a writer. It's a reasonable thing to do, because basically what writers need to do is read, particularly young writers. And the way you find out, I mean, writing is basically, as I say this glibly, but with some seriousness, writing is basically the difference between knowing what is interesting and what isn't. And one of the things that isn't interesting is something that has been said a million times before, and one of the things you get from constantly reading is recognizing what is a mundane revelation and what is original. So reading, you can certainly read a lot if you get a master's in English, but you can read a lot in a lot of other ways as well. So I won't either recommend it or not recommend it.
Bruce Weber, I thank you very much for talking to me today, and we're looking forward to you being part of the Evenings with Authors at the Thurber House on April 9th.
Well, I'm looking forward to it myself. It's very nice of everybody to have invited me, considering I'm a Wolverine.
Well, we'll try not to make a big deal out of that. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.